Hi, everyone. Thank you for joining us this Friday afternoon. As usual, I'm joined by our three executive board members, Rodrigo, Gonçalo, and João. And as usual, Rodrigo will make an introduction, and then Gonçalo will follow yesterday's presentation. Rodrigo?
Thank you, Ana. Good afternoon, all. Thank you again for joining our conference call. 2017 was a good year. We are quite pleased with our results. We delivered according to the best standards in quality and safety. We handled well the terrible forest fires. We did not have service interruptions, and we delivered in all our concessions responsibilities. From a financial perspective, we also did well. Another year without surprises, we took advantage of our credit metrics and lowered the average loan interest we were paying. The new investments are already showing in the P&L. We did both these investments smoothly and successfully, probably slower than what we all expected. We had to wait for all the regulatory approvals, and finally the capital increase went very well. With the regular set of challenges we have in terms of regulation and investment planning, we believe our teams did a good job overall. I have to recognize that on the special tax, we made no progress so far, and that's super frustrating. But even on that front, the lack of news doesn't come as a surprise for us and for you all. During our results presentations, we don't talk much about internal organization topics, but this time I want to refer something that makes us very proud. Overall, is a small team. With Portgas, we are shy of 700 people. We are a small group of motivated people, well-organized, forward-looking, and we are making important investments in key areas, like training, development, asset management, maintenance, cybersecurity, just to mention a few. In the past 3 years, we improved the overall employee satisfaction that we measured in a significant way, and that's a very important progress for all of us. We have a good reason to be happy, and I will share another one. In 2015, we announced our strategic plan for the period 2015-2018, and we were able to reach the end of 2017, meeting all the main objectives. Our operational performance topped our targets in efficiency and security. We closed two investments, the first in Chile with the acquisition of 42.5% of Letrogas, who owns and operates a natural gas pipeline that supplies the city of Santiago and the major natural gas generation plants in Chile. And the second investment was in Portgas, formerly EDP Gas, a natural distribution company in the north of Portugal. As I said, the results that we released yesterday afternoon include the impact of these investments with consolidation of proportional results of Eletrogas and Portgas. Both projects are moving according to our best expectations. All our work has been done meeting our commitment to good governance, being open and predictable to the markets, and driving all our activities with a combination of social focus and delivering results. Overall, as I said, a good set of results. Now, I will pass to Gonçalo that he will go through the presentation. And at the end, as usual, like Ana said, we will be available for answering any questions.
Hi, good afternoon to you all. Thank you for joining the call on this 2017 results. So I think we delivered, as a company again, a very solid set of results. As you can see, EBITDA rose 2.4% in the year, as did net profit that rose to 125.9 million euros, that is a 25.7, which is pretty solid increase versus what happened in 2016. When looking at EBITDA, of course, there's two main positive factors. One of them is already the inclusion of Portgas with an impact of almost 9 million, and also the inclusion of Electrogas with an impact of around 7 million, if we don't take into consideration certain non-recurrent costs that we had with that transaction. We also have, and it's noteworthy, an increase of 11% on the regulated asset base, driven basically by the transaction that we did with Portgas. When you look at net profit, apart from this good evolution of EBITDA, we also see a good evolution of financial costs. Financial costs came down almost 19 million on the back of the fact that the average cost came from 3.2 to 2.5% in this year, even considering the fact that net debt increased a little bit, but increased a little bit, but below what it should have increased, given good debt management that we did during the year. The only negative, I'd say here below EBIT is still the high effective tax rate. Our normal effective tax rate, you'll see, is actually came down slightly, but which says we are paying more than 38% of taxes. So as Rodrigo was said, the capital increase was a success, and the more recent issuance of bonds in the beginning of the year finalized the funding of all of that transaction with a very successful issuance, with a very low 80 basis points spread over 10 years, which allows us to have an average maturity again over 5 years, as we normally like to be. So moving to slide number 3, which are just the main indicators, nothing special here apart from what you already knew. We see recurrent net profit, which is basically net profit without the special levy and some M&A costs, also evolving in a very positive way. I'd just like to say that on most of these, you only see one quarter impact of Portgás. So of course, on the average RAB and net debt, the full impact is already there. But on the other ones, you only see a quarter of impact, actually, and included in the more detailed presentation that she put up in the site, already some pro forma numbers, so that you can have an idea if we have consolidated fully the company this year, what could have been the numbers, but this year only includes around 3 months. So moving to slide number 4, you see here the normal evolution last year that we already know. So rates have been coming down versus 2016, but not all of the year, so mostly on the second half of the year. So actually, that allows the base rate of return on electricity to increase a little bit, which then has, and you'll see, a positive impact on the remuneration of RAB. And of course, the rate of return of gas came down because of the fact that in 2016, we only have half of the impact of the revision of the regulation in that normal year. Okay? Moving to slide number 5, and going to CapEx, I think we have good news here. Although CapEx is coming down, I think it's still maintaining at a very healthy level. As you know, there is a normal trend of CapEx domestically to come down a little bit, but I think that there was an amazing effort from our operating teams with the usual effort, the usual, let's say, dance at the end of the year, of being able in the final month to deliver a lot. And so we were able actually not only to have only a minute decline in terms of CapEx, but actually to have, be it true with already some impact from Portgás, but have an increase on the transfers to RAB. And I think this is extremely important. And plus, on the back of the fact that with all of this pressure, we still deliver excellent results in terms of quality of service, as you all know. If you go to slide number 6, you see the normal evolution. You have one more column now. You have the Portgás column, so the gas distribution column. Again, nothing new. You can see the 30 basis points difference that we have from gas distribution to gas transmission. So I'd say the rest is more or less the normal, which is increase in terms of electricity with premium and decrease in the other ones, but also in this case a big increase on the gas distribution part. Moving on to slide number 7 and looking at RAB remuneration. So this is what I was commenting before. So what are the main impacts that you can see here? On the electricity, I'd say that this is a rate of return kind of story. So on the electricity side, the major impact is the increase of rate of return, which makes remuneration go up by more than 4 million. And on the gas side, it's the reverse. So it makes it go down almost by 11 million, basically driven by the evolution of rates and the change in the regulatory. But I would say that this is completely in line with what we expected and what we've been telling the market and all of you during the last year. So moving to slide number 8 and going into costs, you see this increase of costs. Of course, this is not a real increase. As you know, not only part of this relates to the fact that we are now incorporating Portgás, but there is also a lot of other costs, which actually when then we'll see in the next slide, you see that part of them are pass-through costs, and part of them are costs that are, one, either revenue related, so we have revenues and costs. Secondly, are M&A costs driven by the operation. So actually, if we only look at this cost, at overall cost, they would still increase a little bit. But if we only took, and we can now look at that on slide number there, nine, I'm sorry. If we only look at that on slide number nine, at core OpEx, that 9.5% increase would actually be, which is a 10.7% increase year-on-year, would actually be a around 1% decrease on the cost base. So I can tell you that on the cost base, it's basically personnel costs are very stable. We had a very, very slight increase in terms of O&M. O&M costs, I'd say, vary. In 1 year, sometimes they're slightly low, other years, but they are very stable, despite the fact that the quality is still stellar. Financial costs did come down last year at this level because we issued no bonds last year, so that actually contributes for OpEx to come down. And then you have, I'd say that most of the other costs are basically coming down a little bit or stable. We are not improvising here. We are basically maintaining what we've said that we've been doing in the last few years. Okay? So in slide number nine, which is the following one, we basically see that evolution. There's some pass-through costs like ITC that are going up basically because of more exports of energy. Forest cleaning, also for obvious reasons of what happened last year, also went up a little bit. They may go up a little bit more this year, we will see. But I'd say that apart from that, there isn't anything very particular or outstanding that I should point in terms of costs. I'd say business as usual, being very tight with costs and trying to fulfill what are the regulatory targets that are put to us. So summing up all of this in slide number 10 and looking at EBITDA, so what you can see is impact of Portgás, 9 million, asset remuneration coming down, 5 million, what we've said, so electricity up and gas down. Recovery amortizations, the same. Other revenues, this is basically the fully amortized asset incentive that went up, 1 million, which is also pretty normal. And then the main impact of Eletrogás, which is the 7.2 million. So there isn't anything very, I'd say, outstanding in here. The other costs are driven basically also by the interest on tariff deviation, but nothing very, I'd say, out of the ordinary, accounting for this 2.4% increase year-on-year. Moving to slide 11 and going below EBITDA. So depreciations in line with what we've, I'd say, with past years. Financial results, as I've told you, this decrease of 19 million driven, and we'll see that in the next slide by the decrease on the average cost of debt. And then on the tax side, you see that actually the effective tax rate was slightly below 26%, so a little bit below what we usually have. Sometimes this happens year on year. But more importantly, if we add up the FES, this is still above 38%, so 38.4%. As Rodrigo said, and so to avoid any questions, we can already tell you there's no news relating to this process. Everything is the same. So you always ask us something afterwards, but there's no news relating to this. Okay? So moving to slide number 12. And looking at the evolution of debt, you see that this is basically driven by the two acquisitions, around 700 million euros. The capital increase is 250 million. If you do the math, you could still see that if we took these three parts out, net debt is still should still have come down or would come down. And this is driven basically by a good performance at the operating cash flow part, and also because we have slightly lower CapEx during the year of 2017. debt metrics are unchanged, and there is no expectation of any change in terms of ratings. We continue in engaging with rating agencies, and I'd say that there is a lot of stability here. Finally, on slide number 13, so basically putting it all together, this I'd say increase of 25.7% in net profit of last year, driven by both EBITDA and below EBITDA kind of impact. Finally, some final remarks on slide number 14. So I'd say pretty robust set of results, very much in line with our expectations and pretty strong year. And secondly, I'd like just to say that this was clearly a year where we did an initial step in fulfilling and concluding our main objectives of the strategic plan. So I think this is also good news. Thirdly, and as we said, I think that the capital increase and the bond issue were a pretty good success, which also shows our commitment not only to what we say we want to do, but also to investment grade credit ratings that we have. And finally, and third, and we can also talk a little bit more about that, we are announcing that in May we'll have a capital markets day, and then we'll be supplying with you with the details on when this will be happening and when it will be. Okay. Finally, and as a last point, yesterday we announced that the board is going to propose to the General Assembly exactly the same dividend that was paid last year, which is completely in line with our dividend policy as well. So this concludes our results presentation, and we are now happy and available to any questions that you may have. Thank you very much.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, that is star 1. If you'd like to ask a question, we'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal. We will take our first question from Sarah Piccinini with Mediobanca.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everybody. And I have some questions. The first one is on Portgas. When you presented the deal, the EBITDA in 2016 was given at 48 million. While if we do the math with the quarterly numbers that you gave, I get a lower 36 million. Is that a number that we should assume going forward, or you expect to generate some synergies for which we can expect a higher figure? And so if you can provide a number for EBITDA of Portgas going forward. The second question is, you had a positive working capital effect in 2017 that, if I'm not wrong, is about 140 million. Can you please elaborate more on that and how much you expect the working capital to stay going forward? And the third question is on the press, the measures of the budget law that intends to transfer some of the cost of the social tariff to REN, so if you can comment on that. And finally, the possibility to further bring down your cost of debt in 2018, if you can guide us on that. Thanks a lot.
So on Portgas, as you know, there were some abnormal numbers in 2016, and that resulted for some certain things that EDP actually unwound in Portgas. And so the EBITDA, which you see, is always an EBITDA, say the recurring kind of EBITDA, is an EBITDA more on, let's say, 45, a little between 40 and 45, 42. That's the kind of EBITDA that is more or less in a. Secondly, you also have to bear in mind that this year, as in transmission, Portgas also had a slight negative impact because of the regulation. So there's these two impacts on this year versus 16. Okay? On 18 versus 17, in principle, there's none of these impacts anymore. So EBITDA should be much more stable going forward. I can tell you that integration is going pretty well. As we've always told you, synergies is not a big part in the story of acquiring this company. And since 2018 is the first year that we are conducting the integration, you are not going to see any major cost savings in this year. So if you see that, it's probably after we are able to integrate it a little bit better and the operating teams have time to go over that part and to kind of detail a little bit more the savings, but they are not going to be in any way large. Secondly, on the working capital, this is basically driven and mostly by a change in tariff deviations. As you know, some years they are negative, some years they are positive. This year they were, I'd say, particularly positive. If Juan wants to comment a little bit more after this, he can. But I'd say that this is not a recurring pattern. That being said, we don't really give specific expectations in this way for this year. But I'd say that the decrease that happened in 2017 in the tariff deviations is not something that you should expect happening. So moving forward, I don't know if you want to add something, João.
No, just to complement what you're saying, it's like you're saying, it's quite volatile and it depends on the way some variables that we do not control evolve, like the consumption and so on. This year was particularly affected by the fact that natural gas consumption increased by 25%, and the overall national consumption was quite above the forecast from the regulators, so there were more revenues than expected. So that, and this has a reflect on tariff deviations, but this is quite volatile. This year was very positive. We don't know what's going to be in 2018. Well, regarding the question you have raised on the social tariff, there is not much we can say more than what you know already from public information. You know, the issue is being studied. The regulator has made a public consultation on it, but it has not released yet their own opinion. So we are having contacts with the regulator and to see if how this can evolve. There is honestly not much more that we can say right now.
Thank you.
Cost of debt for grain. She asked about.
You asked something about the cost of debt for next year?
What to expect.
Sarah, I'm sorry. Regarding to that point, what I can tell is that, of course, since we refinanced in the beginning of the year, it has a positive impact versus 2017, but you cannot and you should not expect decreases like you have in the previous 2 or 3 years, where you have very material decreases in the cost of debt. So we are going to see from now on very much smaller decreases on a yearly basis in the cost of debt. That is assuming that the cost stays where it is and doesn't start to go up in base rates or others moving forward. Okay, so assume that the cost of debt should decrease very little versus what you had in the previous year. Thank you.
And our next question will come from Jorge Guimarães with Haitong.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for taking my questions. Still regarding Portgas, can you elaborate on what is your expectation for this year? And also on the OPEX side, because OPEX seems to be at least taking the 6 million mentioned in the presentation, and I don't know if that includes or not one-offs. OPEX seems to be running a bit higher than it was when in previous years on EDP. So can you elaborate on this Portgas OPEX question? And if you can also elaborate when you say that EBITDA for 2018 should remain stable, should we assume that EBITDA should remain on the €40 million range? And secondly, if you can comment on the recent news that the new investment plan will be lower than the last one, at least judging from some news that have been appearing on Portuguese press. Thank you very much.
Just to comment a little bit on Portgás. So as I told you, what you saw last year, and the impact on, let's say, more the EBITDA line, you see that there is this impact from the change of rate of return of going down around €3 million. So you always have, let's say, the normal impact of rates of return when rates go up or down, but that you can calculate yourself. You have the regulated asset base, so that has that impact. The second thing I can tell is that no, we are not seeing costs being higher, not at all. We are not anticipating, as I told you, synergies this year, but we are not seeing costs being higher than they were when it was inside EDP Group. You also have to bear in mind that at the end of the day, this is a small part of our cost structure, of our asset base, but we are not seeing anything increasing in terms of cost. And so, yes, I think that you should assume that it should be in the low 40s kind of range, very stable versus what it was in 2017, give or take. Okay, so that is relating to Portgás. Then you asked about the new incentive plan, investment plan that Rodrigo will address, and that's it.
Regarding the new investment plan, now the plan we presented is still under public discussion. And that will take, if I'm not wrong, another week. And then there is no, we don't have really a schedule. It can, the guys from the energy agency can take a month, can take 2 months, you know, providing their feedback with all the approvals that are required. We do, in what regards the future investments, we decided this past year to introduce a new concept of plan presentation. We split in two the plan. One is the works we believe they need to be done because they are really in our hands to decide, and we know it is really required. And then the plans that we need to show that are correspondent to the energy policy that the government initiates. And this is why when you see press comments on the declining of the project, we see that because they are comparing the full plan of previous years to a smaller plan that it's that first part I mentioned. We believe it was a good way to avoid the criticism sometimes of politicians and regulators regarding the ambition of our plan. And this is why, you know, we prefer now to have, you know, what is necessary in our perspective and what is necessary to meet the energy policy initiatives of the government. And I think, you know, this is, you know, and even when we look forward, I think we have plenty of projects that will come to fruition. And, you know, we have a good expectations for the future. It's very hard to now to go into the detail because, you know, there is a big initiative from the government in terms of solar energy. You know, it's public. They want to license, you know, several hundred megawatts, you know, probably even reaching more than one gigawatt. There is plans also to change some of the railroad systems in the south of Portugal, and that will require investment on our side. There is several interconnection projects also that have been studying. We are sure nothing is going to happen at once, but we are also sure that most of these projects will come to reality in a question of 1, 2, 3 years. Then I think we have, you know, our outlook is positive, and of course we look forward to get the feedback from the government regarding the plans.
And our next participant is Carolina Dores with Morgan Stanley.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my questions. I have just one. When looking at 2018 results, you're probably going to have the negative impact of the electricity transmission review, and bond yields continue to come down. As you said, there's the natural decline of the effect of the rates. On the positive side, you still have some decline on your cost of debt. So my question would be, if because of that, I would imagine that you're going to have lower results in 18 compared to 17. My question is if that's a fair statement, and I think second, if we should assume that your tax rate should be on the 26%, or we should account for actually the higher tax rate given the tax increases in Portugal.
Okay, so very quickly on the tax rate, now I'd say you can still assume those normal 28% kind of effective tax rate that we are using. I think that the 26 that we have this year without the sales is more or less what I would use. We don't know what is going to happen to sales, but since it's there, no, let's assume that it's there. The logic that you have is more or less sound. So we don't give you guidance, but the logic that you have is more or less sound. So I'd say that on the EBITDA side, we have on one side the negative impact of the rate, and on the positive side, the impact of the remaining 9 months of Portgás. Those are the two main kind of impacts. Of course, then the decrease of financial costs in the last few years has been a driver of compensation of other things. And what we are telling you is that next year this is not going to be so much true. So we are reaching a level where financial costs are going to start declining at a much lower pace, because we are already at an average cost of debt which is below several companies which have better rating than we do. So we are already at a level of cost of funding which is difficult to decrease in a material way. So I'd say that your view is, let's say, more or less fair generically, but I would not be able to comment in any specific or giving you any more specific guidance relating to that. Okay. I think these were the questions. Thank you, Caroline.
And we will now hear from Katrina Alfonso with Intermoney.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my question. It's just one regarding the CapEx figure for 2018. If you could give a little guidance on that, because your CapEx figures are coming down, and obviously that impacts negatively the average RAB revenue of the assets. So if you could give some light on that, I know you will have the investors' day, but if you could give some comments on that now, it would be great. Thank you.
Well, we don't usually give a full detail on the CapEx. One of the reasons is because there is a little bit of issues going on in terms of following what Rodrigo said about some projects that will depend on the decision of the government, and which we will have to respond. This of course gives us some fluctuation in terms of the CapEx. Although what we can tell you is that, as expected, the CapEx will slightly decrease. However, we will keep among the average that it was foreseen in the investment plan. We are waiting for some of the decisions on the government. We believe that these decisions will be positive. The only thing we can not know is when they will happen, and this may bring CapEx in 2018 or eventually in 2019 or 2020.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, just one more thing. But, you said the CapEx will decrease this year, and what do you, which type of impact do you expect on the average RAB for 2018?
We don't give, again, specific guidance. It's going to come down a little bit, as João said. And so, of course, there will be a not very large impact in 18, but it will be some tens of millions of euros, but it's not going to be huge, okay? But of course, yes, as João said, CapEx is going to come down, so you'll have a little bit of impact. That's exactly why we also strategically did and looked to grow this year more through the acquisition of Portgás that guarantees us not only a one-shot increase, but guarantees us an ongoing growth in terms of asset base in the coming years. So that was the logic behind it. And of course, in any given year, it's difficult to give an exact number. I would wait, and I think that you'll have more clarity when we come out with the business plan, because CapEx is something that varies on a year-on-year basis, and it's better for you to make a judgment and look at it when you look at it on, over 3 or 4 years and rather than in a single year. Okay?
Okay. Many thanks.
And as a reminder, that is star one if you'd like to ask a question. Our next question will come from Jose Martins with JB Capital Markets.
Everyone's well. First of all, just a quick clarification on, I apologize, my line is a bit bad, but your marginal cost of debt is how much? I'm sorry, I didn't quite put my finger to it. The second question is...
Go ahead.
The second question is, well, you've had a very busy 2017. After many years of looking for acquisitions, you did two. So my question is that appetite for, and you funded it, is that appetite for opportunities now put on the side? And I really don't want to steal your thunder regarding the Investor Day, but are you still open to opportunities for investments such as Portgás or the one in Chile in the future? And would something like, let's say the government, the Portuguese government told us that there's a plan for a tender for interconnect between Portugal and Morocco, an international tender. If such a project came through, would you be interested in looking into it? And then my final question is, what are your challenges for 2018 in terms of how do you see the concerns of if interest rates come up, go back up? Do you feel that that is a genuine concern, or are you still relatively relaxed about that? Thank you.
So the marginal cost of debt, the issuance that we did now, was 1.7568, so that's how much we issued, so around 1.75%, an ATB.
Excellent. I'm sorry, the line was bad, so thank you.
Okay, so the average, the marginal cost that we had in the last issuance was around 1.75%. Okay, but that is a 10.
Understood, got it.
Okay.
On your second question, which was a combination of questions, I think you really need to attend the strategy briefing we will do in May, because if I answer to your question,
I will.
Nobody will go there. You know, but if I answer everything,
I will either way.
I struggle to provide some clarity on your question. Anyway, you know, we just, you know, people need to understand that we just, as you said, we just finished these two investments. You know, for a company like ours, these investments were sizable. They came at the right time. We, as we always said, we will, and we, you know, personally, I've been saying that for the past 3 years, we would look into the investments, you know, being extremely conservative and careful, and making sure we were doing something that we could afford. We took, of course, some risks by doing what we did, we had to do a capital increase. But the moment we decided to do the second investment, we immediately said we would only do it with this capital increase. It happened. It went, you know, very well, as we said already today. And you know, but this is, you know, we are, you know, our culture is really very conservative. And whatever we will do in the future, it's not going to be much different from what we did in the recent past. You know, which we look to the opportunities. We are very careful in the way we look to those opportunities. And if you ask me today, do we have any plan to go after something? No, we don't. No. Today we don't. Tomorrow, it really depends on the evolution. And again, in May, we will give you a little bit more information about what are we planning for the future. You know, now it's not the right time to provide too much information. But you know, I would say our culture, our careful way of looking to things is not going to change. And you know, we have our priorities. You know, in keeping the investment grade is something we care a lot. You know, being, you know, very, very predictable is something we care a lot. And we already discussed today, we have several challenges. You know, from one side, we are ready for a decrease in the CapEx. On the other side, we also see opportunities that can change that. You know, and you see, you know, this is how we have to manage. We have to be ready to adapt to the reality. And we have some good levers we can always use. Gonzalo mentioned something that I think is super important. You know, why did we invest it in these two companies? We invested because we knew we had pressure on our regular business. And I think, you know, this is quite the base of our, let's say, business culture. And that's not going to change in May. You know, whatever we will share with the market, it's going to be, you know, based on, you know, what we have been doing. And we do not want to compromise on our future.
Okay. Very helpful.
Thanks.
About the your concerns, any thoughts on the issue?
Can you repeat, because I lost you for a second?
Sure. Well, it's a sector concern more than anything else. If rates start going up, it's good news for banks, but it's certainly not good news for utilities. From a risk perception point of view. Do you have any thoughts on that, or is not something that you have on your radar screen for the moment?
I can add a little bit on that. Of course, as you say, it's true. If you are a bond, rates increasing is not the best thing. But what you can say, what we can tell you, what we've always told you, is that we have already prepared our funding strategy precisely for that. So we know that we are at the bottom, I'd say, of the rate cycle. We are also at the same time towards the bottom of the regulatory curve. So when you saw the fixed rate component go up in the past few quarters, and it went up again in this first quarter of the year when we issued the bonds, it's already bearing that in mind, so that if rates do go up, we actually not only are not impacted negatively, but we actually are impacted positively, in the sense that the revenues react immediately to the rate increase, although on the liability side, they are going to be more sticky and will be able to maintain a more steady average cost of debt despite that fact. So that, I would say, is the major comment I can tell you relating to the evolution of rates. Okay.
Excellent, guys. See you in May.
Thank you.
So about that, the date that we're working with is the 4th of May. As soon as we have the save the date, we will send it to all of you, okay? Have a nice weekend, and you know where to find me if you have any other questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.